And welcome back on Husker Radio's KODY, 1240 AM, 106.1 FM, both proud members of the Husker Radio Group. Director of Programming and News Director Tristan Winder, glad to be with you, and joined by a very special guest, Speaker of the Nebraska Legislature, Mike Hilgers. Speaker Hilgers, always a blessing to talk to you,
it
sir.
It is great to be here, Tristan. Thanks for having me.
Now, you're in North Platte here once again. I think you were here just a few months ago visiting us, right?
I was here a few months ago, and I was actually here coming through the other day going up to Rushville for a campaign event. Yes.
Awesome.
I love stopping in North Platte.
We'll talk about that a little bit more, but first, sir, we need to talk about the legislative session. Came to a conclusion about a week ago. A lot of progress made throughout this legislative session.
We had a 60-day session, which doesn't seem like a lot of time. Long days, long nights. We got a tremendous amount done, Tristan. Very proud of the legislature this year.
A lot of late nights, too, and that was kind of what we were up against at the conclusion of the session.
It was, and you know, at the end of a short session, that's it. There's no, at the end of a long session, Tristan, you have another session to go. So you
sure.
always say, hey, I've got a few more days for the procrastinators out there. But when you're doing a short session, that's it. We adjourn sine die, and everything is complete. And so we had a rush to the finish to try to get as much done as we could. The last 2 days, we had over 100 bills on final reading that we passed and sent to the governor, none of which, by the way, were vetoed. So we got a lot of work done, and sometimes it felt like we weren't going to get the plane landed, but we did, and we had a lot to be proud of.
And a lot of the reason why that plane was landed so finally is because of some of the captains we had on that plane, including yourself, Speaker Hilgers.
Well, I was honored to be Speaker the last 2 years. We had a lot of great teammates, including the senator here in District 42, Senator Jacobson, and others. And it was a team effort to get it across the finish line. In the Nebraska legislature in particular, which is nonpartisan with no internal caucuses, it takes a team, and you need a lot of leaders to be able to get it done.
And Speaker Hilgers, a couple of those great co-pilots, along with Senator Jacobson, like you mentioned, are a couple that I want to talk about, particularly with Senator Stinner out in the far western end of the state, and Senator Linehan. You spoke on the final day of the legislative floor in your final address for this legislative session, saying that you have had two of the best, I think you said the best, Revenue Committee chairs and also the Appropriations Committee chairs with John Stinner and Luann Linehan. That's quite the statement to make. I'm not going to disagree with you, though.
I have the best revenue chair, of course, in Senator Linehan, and the best appropriation chair in Senator Stinner. And I say that because I worked with them, but I say that because at the end of the day, that's what the evidence tells me. Think about what we did this session, Trish. We had the biggest tax cut in state history. A tax cut, by the way, the governor says is over 10 times larger than the previous largest tax cut that we've ever had. Cut income tax rates for the first time, more property tax relief, Social Security and corporate income tax all cut. At the same time, we were able to fund a number of state priorities, including ones out west. And the reason we were able to do both of those two things is because we had fiscal discipline the last 6 years, and we left the state with over $1 billion cash reserve. So I look at the reason we're able to do that is because of the discipline of the leadership of the Appropriations Committee and the legislature from Senator Stinner and the tenacity and grit from my revenue chair, Senator Linehan. At the end of the day, you know, you can't argue with the results. And so I think they're the best we've ever had.
Before we talk in detail about some of this positive things that came out of this legislative session, Speaker Hilgers, I want to talk about a couple of unfortunates that you and I both are big sponsors or supporters of, and you yourself are a sponsor of in a number of ways, primarily Senator Albright. Pro-life trigger bill. It was unfortunate to see that one come short. This is a measure that you voted in favor of and spoke in favor of as well.
Well, and it was my personal priority bill this year. I spoke
as Speaker. Yes.
Yeah, that's right. And so it was an incredibly important bill, as your listeners know. And in my opinion, is that Roe v. Wade is one of the worst, if not the worst, Supreme Court decision we've had in our country's history. And we all are hoping and praying that the Supreme Court will rectify that, right that wrong, with the Dobbs case. We anticipate a decision sometime in June. What most Nebraskans don't realize is that if Roe falls, Nebraska actually doesn't have much in the way of abortion prohibitions. And that surprises a lot of people because mm-hmm. we are such a pro-life state. We, of course, have our 20-week ban that was instituted, our heartbeat ban. I'm sorry, not heartbeat, 20-week ban from Senator Flood when he was Speaker, as well as the dismemberment abortion. But beyond that, abortion's legal in Nebraska for the most part. The trigger bill would have remedied that if Roe would have fallen. So that was a big that was one that we really wanted to get across the finish line. We came two votes short, unfortunately, with one, I think, supporter who was out for a medical issue and wasn't
unfortunately.
There. Yeah, but we still would have been one short.
And have to tip the cap to Senator Albright, too. Took a lot of heat sponsoring this measure and being a co-sponsor of it in a number of ways.
Well, Senator Albright and Senator Geist and Senator Islam are three of the most significant pro-life warriors that we have in the legislature. Senator Albright's had pro-life wins, including the abortion reversal, LB 209 from a couple years ago. Senator Geist, LB 814 from a couple years ago, is the dismemberment abortion ban that I just referenced. They're warriors. They're pro-life champions. They take the heat, and they have historically had a lot of success. And as I mentioned, we came up a little short. But I'm confident, whether it's in a special session this summer or in January next year, that we'll have that law. We'll get that type of a bill in place.
Another pro-life senator is District 42 appointee Mike Jacobson. He was appointed late in the legislative session, so a very unique situation, Speaker Hilgers. Tell us about your working relationship with Senator Jacobson at the conclusion of the legislative session, sir.
Senator Jacobson, my new seatmate in the legislature, has really done an outstanding job coming in. As you mentioned, he's very strongly pro-life and really spoke eloquently on the floor about his own family's history, trying to have children. And so he came in, was an immediate supporter, helped us on the floor, spoke very strongly, eloquently on the floor on pro-life issues. And even beyond that, he was a really good teammate, great teammate, worked in a very collaborative way and helped us. I don't think we would have been able to get the tax cuts or all the other things that we got accomplished without Senator Jacobs' assistance.
You said, he's been called
worse.
Those
two things together fast, Tristan.
It's happened before. I've done it too. Again, Speaker of the Nebraska Legislature, Mike Hilgers, joining us on the heels of the legislative session. A lot of great things done that legislative session, Speaker Hilgers. I want to talk about the fact that we had one of the best water sessions in the state's history, like you said a week ago on the legislative floor in your final address.
There's no doubt about it. I think there's two key pieces of that, both of which were bills that I was very honored to bring. One, especially out here in Western Nebraska, is LB 1015, otherwise known as the Perkins County Canal Bill. When you think about the trajectory of our state over the next 10 or 20 years, access to good talent and people is probably most important, but beyond the second, and maybe a close second, is access to water. And a lot of people didn't know until this last legislative session that Nebraska did not have rights in the non-irrigated season to water coming out of the South Platte unless we build this canal. So we get water in the non-irrigated season currently, but not because we have legal entitlement to it. And that 1923 Colorado-Nebraska compact that we all dusted off and said, hey, if we build this canal, we've got rights to that water, and the growth in the Front Range, protecting our water rights in LB 1015, I think is one of those. We'll look back in 10 years and be incredibly grateful that we did. And the other one, it was LB 1023, which helped put the framework from the Star Wars Committee. You and I have talked about that before, which at the end of the day is going to invest over $50 million into Lake Mekane, our number one tourist attraction here in the state of Nebraska, as well as up in Lewis and Clark Lake, as well as Niobrara, and potentially build a new lake, an attraction between Lincoln and Omaha.
Lake Moorefield, as some of you and your senators have called it.
I think Lake Tristan sounds pretty good, but, you know.
Senator Jacobson told me Monday that lake's had a lot of names, so why not give it one more?
Well, the most common has been Lake Mike, and because we have so many Mikes in the legislature.
Why not?
Yeah, that's right. Lake Mike, Lake Mac, you know, Tristan.
It all works. It all works. Now, Speaker Hilgers, I want to talk a little bit, too, about some, I would call them ludicrous claims that were made about our Speaker of the great Nebraska legislature, about perhaps some prioritizing or some juggling that wasn't necessarily done in the proper manner. I, as a viewer of the legislature and as a citizen of Nebraska and an unbiased citizen as well as a journalist, was extremely impressed with the manner that you conducted yourself in and in balancing Republicans, Democrats, strong-headed people, strong-willed people. I don't think I've ever seen anybody that's been able to take that sort of management in that class in that role quite the way that you did this year, sir.
Well, I appreciate you saying that. I told people that I didn't want to be speaker in part because it looked like all you do as a speaker is get yelled at all day. And if anyone doubts the bipartisan nature of the Nebraska legislature, they should look at the speaker because Republicans and Democrats, as you mentioned, strong-willed individuals. At the end of the day, the people expect the right process to take place. I'm a conservative. I want good conservative bills to pass. I don't want progressive bills to pass in general. But as speaker, my role was to make sure that I manage the body. Because if a portion of the body, whether they're conservative, liberal, progressive, or otherwise, feels alienated from the process and that they can't give voice to their constituents' concerns, I have seen historically that the process really breaks down in a way that stops these really good accomplishments from getting across the finish line. And so I viewed my role as speaker to try to be fair from a process perspective, to listen, to provide notice, but also to help guide some of these really important initiatives across the finish line. I did the best that I possibly could, and with all the teammates that we had in the legislature and all the constituents, you know, urging us on and emailing and calling their senators, we were able to get a lot accomplished. But it was a team effort at the end of the day, Tristan.
One of those big team members, I would call a team captain along with yourself, is Senator Hughes, term limited, unfortunately, out here in the western end of the state. You talked about the impact that he's had, and watching him preside over the body, too, as often president of the Nebraska legislature is just extremely impressive.
I cannot say enough good things about my good friend, Senator Dan Hughes. He is just a tremendous senator in every way. I mean, he's principled, he's conservative, he's thoughtful, he's a great teammate, he's brought great legislation, he fights on the floor. As Speaker, and I said this in my closing remarks, there's probably no, it's a very lonely job.
Sure, I can imagine.
Probably the only person that you can really turn to within the institution is the chair of the executive board. And that was what Senator Hughes has been over the last 2 years. And I just, you know, Tristan, there is not a greater colleague that I've had in my 6 years here. A number of great ones, but Senator Hughes is outstanding. And he has served Venango District 44 with such distinction. The state of Nebraska is going to miss him when he is term limited at the end of the year and when he hangs up the Spurs.
Also going to miss our often president of the Nebraska legislature as well, Lieutenant Governor Mike Foley, a great teammate of yours as well, Speaker Hilders.
You know, we've been blessed with Senator Foley, or former Senator Foley, in the lieutenant governor presiding officer role because he was a former state senator. Mm-hmm. He served for 6 years. He knows the body, understands the rhythm and the flow, and understands the rules. He was a great teammate. You know, a speaker and lieutenant governor doesn't necessarily follow that they're going to always have a good working relationship. And if they don't, a lot of things can break down procedurally. You
sure.
can say the speaker could have a filibuster rule and the presiding officer, is lieutenant governor as an example, could say, no, I'm going to do it my way. But Lieutenant Governor Foley and I had an outstanding working relationship. Really kind of the theme, Tristan, of the session was we had enough good, really good collaborative working relationships, even if we didn't agree on things, that enabled us to get big things done. And Lieutenant Governor Foley played a big role in that.
And Speaker Hilders, some of the big things that were done were statewide, too. There's a lot going out east. We know there's a lot that Senator Wayne, Senator McKinney were able to accomplish for the North Omaha area. But getting here more locally, the western end of the state, I would make the argument that this is some really earth-moving stuff happening in Legislative District 42 that the Nebraska legislature passed with funding for Sustainable Beef LLC and their North Platte facility, and also with the rail park as well, along with the previously mentioned Perkins County Canal.
Well, hundreds of millions of dollars went to the western part of the state. I'm very proud that we took a very statewide balanced approach. You mentioned, of course, it was $20 million for the processing facility out here in North Platte. In addition, the $15 million for the rail parks. Senator Friesen got $40 million for broadband targeted towards communities 5,000 residents and under, which is going to disproportionately impact the western part of the state in the third district. In addition, we had the Fort Laramie Canal repair, which was over $20 million that my good friend, Senator Erdman, another outstanding teammate and friend, really was a champion for, to make sure that got in. So we have a lot to be proud of statewide, but in particular the western part of the state.
You mentioned, too, in your farewell speech, in your final speech on the legislative floor, that you might not miss your good friend Senator Erdman's often threatening of a sign-e-die motion. For those that caught that and are unaware what that means, Speaker Hilders, could you break that down for us?
So a sign-e-die motion is the motion that is the final motion of a session. It will shut down the session. Now, traditionally, it's on the last day of the session.
Hopefully.
But there's nothing in the rules that says that you actually have to wait till the last day. It can be filed at any time, and the body could adjourn. Whenever a sign-e-die motion is adopted, the body is over. The session is over. And so Senator Erdman, who is just an outstanding person and a great colleague, and I can't say enough good things about him and his wife, wonderful wife Kathy, who have opened their doors to my family over the years, he would often, not always, but often when, you know, late night or things were going kind of poorly and, you know, it was kind of fractious, he would come up with the motion, you know, already signed and written out. He's like, what about now? Most times I thought he was joking. Sometimes I thought he was serious, but
he's
never did.
He's a tough man to read sometimes, isn't he?
That's right. But the thing about Senator Erdman, he will always shoot you straight and he will tell you exactly how he thinks. And the thing I preach about Senator Erdman, besides being a good friend, a great senator, I always appreciated his floor speeches because he just had a lot of common sense logic. You know, mm-hmm. oftentimes, you know, sometimes as a lawyer, Tristan, I'm guilty of it. You want to, you know, over explain or you get caught up in your words. And, you know, normal everyday Nebraskans are looking like, what did you just spent 5 minutes, but I have no idea what you really just said. Senator Ehrman gets straight to the point. Everything is very logical, makes a ton of sense. And he was a great advocate for conservative causes and for the western part of the state. And I'm really fortunate. I'm glad that he's got 2 more years left in the legislature.
Yeah, very blessed, that's for sure. And Speaker Hildreth, anything else you want to add about the legislative session before we talk about the upcoming election?
You know what? I'm proud of what we did. I appreciate the opportunity to talk about the successes that we had, Tristan. At the end of the day, the Nebraska legislature did something that a lot of legislative bodies like Congress have not been able to do recently, which is we work together, we work collaboratively, we fought through the political environment and kind of how people are getting pulled apart, and we came together to do some big things. So I'm really proud of what we did this the last 2 years.
Not just, during the legislative session, but the entire 2 years, like you said. That includes a word that you don't want to hear a lot anymore, redistricting.
I try to repress those memories.
But one of the first in the nation to accomplish that redistricting.
Well, and I said this at the time, Tristan, it was sort of, we took our vitamins. A lot of state legislatures didn't do that. They said, let's wait till our regular session. I will tell you, and there's not a shadow of a doubt in my mind, had we not done redistricting, as difficult as it was in September in that special session, and as you know, almost no state did, there's no way we would have gotten all the accomplishments that you and I were just discussing. There's no way those would have gotten done, because we would have had half, if not more, of that session soaked up just fighting over redistricting. We ran out of time as it was to get through things. There's no way we would have gotten it done. So we did the right thing then, and now we can look back and we know we did the right thing.
Well worth that hard work.
Absolutely.
Now, Speaker Hildreth, we know that you have a campaign fully underway to represent the great state of Nebraska in a different capacity, another leadership capacity, and succeeding the great Attorney General Doug Peterson, who has announced he's not intending to run for office again.
Yeah, Attorney General Peterson's been a great friend, and I would have supported him if he was running for his third term, but he didn't, and I'm running because it is non-negotiable here in Nebraska, Tristan, for us to have a strong Attorney General. Think about the fights. We know about federal overreach. We know what the Biden administration's doing and going outside of its constitutional lane. We know what's happening with law enforcement around the country, and we need stalwart defenders of our great law enforcement community and keeping our community safe. We also know, over the last year, as you and I just talked about, that we've got a fight with Colorado over water that the Attorney General has been and will be heavily involved in. And so it's been a real blessing just to have the opportunity to run for this and come out to North Platte and see you and see others out in western Nebraska, and I'm trying to get every last vote here before the May 10th primary to be able to be the Republican nominee.
And Speaker Hildreth, I want to talk about a couple of these issues specifically with you as a candidate for Nebraska Attorney General, because it's different than ever before. Like you mentioned, our next governor, our next Attorney General have different roles than they've ever had before, and they're going to have to continue to stand up, as Governor Ricketts and A.G. Peterson have done, and standing up against the White House and federal overreach for at least 2 more years from the Biden administration, and I hate to say it, but it could be more than 2 years.
Well, there's no doubt about it. If you look 20 years ago at the Attorney General and what the AG would traditionally do in the portfolio of the AG's office, mostly focus on cases in Nebraska, law enforcement, of course. And those things haven't changed, of course.
Sure.
But the battles now, they might be in Missouri between a multi-state with Nebraska and the AG from South Dakota and North Dakota and in Iowa, all working together to fight a Biden administration executive order that was issued on an eviction moratorium. Or it might be working together with the South Carolina Attorney General and the Nevada AG, or whatever it might be. These multi-states have taken on such a layer of strategic complexity that to be successful, you have to be able to navigate both the legal, which is important, of course, and the complexity of the law, be nimble, because the strategy of the Biden administration seems to be, we're just going to throw as many things at you and assume that you're not going to catch them all. You have to be nimble, and then you have to work collaboratively with other attorneys general to be able to put the best foot forward in the right jurisdiction, the right courthouse to win the day. And it's such a different game than it was 20 years ago that it really is almost another set of skills beyond just legal skills to be able to be successful.
And need to give a little bit of background on yourself too, Speaker Hildreth, for folks that are unaware. You mentioned it a minute ago, but we'll stress you've been a practicing attorney for a number of years with a law firm right here in the great state of Nebraska.
Yeah, and my practice really has been similar to what you would see. I think the things that I just described for an attorney general, a modern attorney general, really has to have. I started my firm 11 years ago. I've been practicing longer than that. I did what a lot of Americans still can do, which is bet on themselves. I started this law practice in my basement, just me. I was the head dishwasher, paralegal, and lawyer for about, in the last 11 years, I'm proud to say we have over 100 lawyers now working for us around the country. And the types of things that I do on a day-to-day basis, which is manage a large team, think through multi-state litigation, think through complex legal issues, think through how to work with co-counsel, working against a sophisticated opposing counsel, certainly I'm not the attorney general, so I'm not dealing with the exact same issues, but the types of skills and background that I've had in the last 11 years building my law practice really translate, I think, really well in a way for me to be able to start day one ready to go fighting for Nebraskans.
And how would your experience as a state senator and speaker of the Nebraska legislature help in that as well if the citizens of the state choose to elect you, Speaker Hilligan?
It will be incredibly valuable. I've seen firsthand not just the last 6 years, not just how do you get policy through that body, which is it's a unique body. It's difficult to do. It's not a skill set that's necessarily intuitive. But working with the Attorney General does so many things day to day. They issue Attorney General opinions. They fight on behalf of law enforcement. The Attorney General does working with county attorneys around the state or the police officer associations. And knowing, not just knowing the personalities that I do right now. I know all the senators that are there. I've developed great working relationships. But the process, the rhythm, the schedule, the calendar, certainly a speaker, and understanding how to successfully navigate that as an advocate for Nebraskans on the outside, I think is incredibly valuable and another reason why I think on day one I'll be ready to go to fight for Nebraskans.
And what would the transition be like from you, if elected, to Attorney General Peterson? Do you plan to work together and have that good working relationship you've had for a number of years?
Well, if I'm fortunate enough to win the primary, which you don't assume anything in this particular
sure.
business, Attorney General Peterson is a great friend. He and Sandy have been great friends ever since we ran against each other in 2014. I'm very proud and honored that he endorsed my candidacy to replace him. And I know his team. I know his chief of staff. I know his chief deputy. I know his comms director. I know a lot of the lawyers, his solicitor general. They're people I've worked with in my time in the legislature. I've known outside of it. And I would fully expect a very close working relationship. But if I were to be fortunate enough to win, again, not assuming anything, Tristan, if I were to get to that point, we'd have a very close relationship to make sure that transition went off without a hitch, but that we would be able to hit the ground sprinting, not just running, but sprinting on day one.
And it's a tough spot to be in, too, because you don't know who you're going to be working with as the Nebraska governor. I guess it's narrowed down to a handful of individuals more than likely, but that's a lot different personalities with those handful of candidates we have.
No, that's exactly right. And whoever comes out of that primary, it's a different working relationship that you have to consider there. And I will say, knowing the legislative, I'll give you a great example of this, Tristan, why it's so important to be able to hit the ground running, both from a legislative perspective as well as knowing the current attorney general and working with their team. Really, the success or failure of the next legislative session, the 108th legislature. So you think in the future, you think of 2024. That seems a long way off. But in a lot of ways, that success is dictated by what you do today.
Sure.
Because getting bills in shape ready to be introduced in January means it makes it more likely it'll be successful or not. And you don't start that process in December or November after the general election. You really have to be able to think through that process now. Even in May and June and July, to be able to be prepared for that next 2 year cycle. So having that background, understanding, working with the Attorney General, current Attorney General, understanding the legislative rhythm of the calendar, I think puts me in the best position to really take advantage of those next 2 years and do some really good things.
And not only as a lawyer, you keen on a lot of these topics, you have experience with perhaps what's going to be the biggest issue moving forward, and that's water rights and disagreements with Colorado. This is an issue that you're already very keen on in a number of ways, adapt on, and you know more about it than I would say maybe a couple other people in the state with Governor Ricketts and A.G. Peterson that might know just as much as you do, but you're right there at the top of the list.
Well, I've been fortunate enough to be able to have that opportunity the last several months, not just reading the compact, I dusted it off, but also creating the legislative record.
Sure.
To the extent there is a legal fight with Colorado, and by the way, I don't think Colorado, this is a fight they ought to pick. They might feel like they need to pick it, but you read that compact, seems pretty clear to me.
I don't understand what they have to argue about.
That's exactly, you know, for people who said, Tristan, this is a bluff. We're trying to get something from Colorado. Truth is, we have what we need from Colorado.
Yeah.
They agreed and Congress approved 100 years ago that we get the right to this water if we build the canal.
Just have to build it.
That's exactly right. Well, I made the legislative history on the floor of the legislature. I was the one doing the arguing on LB 1015. We made the record in the committee. We've been intimately involved with the NRDs and all the subject matter experts and the current water experts in the Attorney General's office. So that's a complex area of law, as you know. It's one you can't really afford any missteps when you're dealing with water rights and the future of the state, and we'll be ready to go on that subject as well.
A battle you're already well aware of and could take the baton and carry if Nebraskans decide.
That's exactly right. I hope that they do.
Well, Speaker Hilligers, it's already evident from your record in the Nebraska unicameral that you're a man that understands the western end of the state has just as much importance as the east. You understand that divide better than a lot of people, too. So if elected, how would you continue to represent the people out west in the manner that you have but in a different capacity as also being their elected representative.
Well, I appreciate you saying that because I represent Lincoln. And a lot of times I know when you're out west and I talk to people out west, they say, you know, Lincoln doesn't think of us. They don't, you know, if you're in Lincoln, you are ignoring the western part of the state. And I think that is often is the case.
Unfortunately.
But it is. But at the same time, it's not necessarily the case. And I think I'm living proof of that because as a Lincoln, I'm originally from Omaha even, which sort of makes it doubly worse. But I've, if you take the time to come out and visit and establish relationships and really authentically listen to people and their concerns, you can do a lot of really special things for the western part of the state. And I've always felt that the heartbeat of Nebraska and the, what's so special about our culture and why I want to raise my four kids here was what came from the western part of our state. And I think it's so critical. So I appreciate you flagging that because it's an important part of how I've approached being speaker. And I think the results speak for themselves. If I was attorney general, I think it is absolutely critical in a practical way to be heavily engaged out west because the western communities really do rely on the expertise of the attorney general's office.
Sure.
But there's a lot of ways to expand the reach of the attorney general. And I'll give you just one example, maybe piggybacking off of my good friend Senator Erdman's idea to take Game and Parks and move it all the way to Sydney, if you might remember that bill, which is sort of like, you know, it's like reminiscent of Senator Sass's commercial of taking the Capitol Lincoln. But there's a lot to that. I think if we concentrate all of our agencies in Lincoln, there are certainly efficiencies that can be gained from that, but we're missing out some. We're missing a lot of different things. One is, you know, the ability to interact in a more efficient way with people out west. It's hard to go from west to east. A lot of miles. And having people who are working in those agencies who get up and, you know, send their kids to school and go to the grocery store and the coffee shop with the people who live out west. And so I think there's some opportunities to really expand our on-the-ground reach in the Attorney General's office that I think I'm excited to explore. But at a minimum, more than anything else, people can expect that I'm going to be out here a lot. I'm going to come out, get my Tin Roof Sunday out in Potter, Nebraska. With my kids every year, we're going to be out here really burning up the shoe leather as well as the miles coming and seeing everyone at Western Nebraska.
You've already put your money where your mouth is, so to speak, too, Speaker Hilgers. You've been out here, what is it, three times the past 3 or 4 months, essentially.
Yeah, which are about the only free days I've had in the legislature. I think I've come out to North Platte. Yeah, come out west. Well, it's important. And, you know, at the end of the day, what's the saying, Tristan? You know, 90% of life is showing up. And I think that's true. And you can say all you want to say about trying to fight for Western Nebraska or Greater Nebraska, but if you're not out there and do it in a way that's real and authentic and not just coming in and telling people what you're going to do, really listening and understanding people's needs, that it's just all a bunch of words and hot air. And so my message to people is, hey, look, I'm out here telling you about me, but the important thing is I'm going to keep coming out here to listen and establish relationships and try to figure out the best way that I can help. Be a civil servant here, as Attorney General out for the western part of the state. I think we've done a pretty good job the last couple of years in the legislature, and we're just going to build on that.
You've already done a good job, too, even the busyness of the Nebraska legislature. You've been available, media outlets. We've talked a couple of times during the session. I'd imagine you'd hope to continue that transparency as the Attorney General, but maybe with more free time on the calendar. Okay.
I will say it's a little odd not have, you know, January to May is pretty much off the list because you can't leave Lincoln. And there's like a public attendance policy for people to know if you're there or not. Hey, as long as you got the door open, Tristan, for me, I'd be love to come out.
It's always open. And before we wrap up too, Speaker Hilgers, you mentioned there's a lot of thought that the Eastern Nebraska senators and lawmakers and individuals out there don't respect what's going on here in the western end of the state. Obviously, you've gone on record, and your voting record in the legislature proves that that's not true with you. But I want to give another example with a Lincoln senator. Susan Geis comes to mind. I don't know that there's an individual that cares as much for the entire state, you could argue, as what Susan Geis does.
Oh, Senator Geis, probably my closest friend in the legislature, just an outstanding pro-life champion, just a very thoughtful person. There's no doubt about it, Tristan. I'll say, at the end of the day, what is the common feature of that is not that we're both from Lincoln, or it's because she listens, you know, and she cares about people, and she's got a humility and modesty about her approach. She doesn't have all the answers for Western Nebraska. She probably has none of the answers until she starts to listen to people. I think when you kind of take that kind of approach, which is what we all want, I think, from our public servants, that kind of modesty and humility, while combining it with principled approach and courage to fight for what's right, I think you get a lot of really special things, and I think Senator Geis is a great example of that.
Now, Speaker Hilgers, if folks want to learn more about your campaign and your candidacy for Attorney General of the great state of Nebraska, how can they do so, sir?
Well, thanks, Tristan. They can go to www.MikeHilgers, that's H-I-L-G-E-R-S, MikeHilgers.com, and they can see all the information that's on there. They can also email me, which is at Mike@MikeHilgers.com, and that comes straight to me. And so if anyone sends me a note, I will respond.
great to have some communication dialogue that way, too.
So. Yeah, no, that's right. And I tried my best over the years to respond to all my emails that come into the legislature, and I'll continue that if I happen to be elected.
Have you gotten a lot of yard signs out, too, Mike?
Yeah, you know, I think we've gotten quite a few. We've got quite a few 4x8s, maybe not as many small ones, but we've got them. I got them. We're loaded up. So if anyone wants any, they send me a note. We're happy to deliver them.
They've not had too many blow away in this crazy
winter. Well,
we
haven't gone back and done an audit yet, but I think some probably have, but we've done a pretty good job, I think.
Speaker Hillinger, it's always a great time to talk to you, my friend, and safe travels. Best luck on the campaign trail.
Thanks so much. It was really great talking to you, as always.